prayer and then we'll practice it. That sound good? Amen. Well, that's what we're going to do anyway, okay? Amen. Psalm 102, and you stand with me. I'm not going to read this in all its entirety tonight. We'll just kind of pick our way through here as God leads. I do want to read the title that is going to take a good part of our thought this evening, where the Bible said a prayer, a single prayer. This psalm, boy, I'm getting something just right now, a single prayer. This single prayer changed things in the psalmist that is writing this. Changed his condition. It changed what he was going through. It changed his outlook on what he was going through. I want to say tonight, as we get ready to set our mind on prayer, don't underestimate the power and the value of a single prayer. We'll say some tonight about praying and praying fervently and praying without ceasing, but don't ever underestimate the value of a single prayer in your life. Amen. So the psalmist said, I want you to understand this is a prayer. Amen. It's not a book of prayers. I don't know if I'm going to get off this. I'm telling you, I feel it growing. It ain't a book of prayers. It ain't a season worth of prayers. The psalmist said, here is a single prayer. I prayed that God used to help my life. Change the way I was seeing things. Change the way I was viewing things. Change the entire dynamic of my life. He said, I want to write it down in a prayer. A prayer, a single prayer, a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed, poureth out his complaint before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, he says in verse number 1, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I'm in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an earth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. My reason, the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping because of thine indignation and thy wrath. For thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever. Thy remembrance unto all generations. And then verse number 17, the psalmist said, in the middle of all this praying that he is doing, he said, he will, that is the Lord, he will regard the prayer of the destitute and despise not their prayer. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I want to continue our thought as we begun it on last week, looking at this psalm, as it is a psalm that is titled that of being in a time of affliction. The psalmist, we believe, is David, and some disagree with that, and that's fine. It matters not for the sake of the thought we want to give. But for our study, we look at it as though it is David saying this was a time of affliction in my life. We identify with David on that level of his life. He was a man of affliction. We'll never identify with him with wearing a crown and ruling over a nation. We'll never identify with him as being one of the human instruments used to pen a magnificent part of the Word of God. We'll never know anything about identifying with him and slaying physical giants in our life. But we all can identify with David in the grounds of affliction. And so this is a psalm that takes us to the depths of affliction, the lows of life. David here said, here's a prayer that I prayed, a psalm for the afflicted. This affliction is described in the verses we read tonight, beginning in verse Really, verse number one, I believe there's some indication of where he's at, but particularly verse 3 through verse number 12, he describes the condition that he's in and how that his outlook about how bad it all is changes on a single verse. In verse number 12, begins to call out, "Look at the Lord, but thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever." I feel like I'm dying. I feel like I'm not going to make it. I don't feel like there's any way through the trouble that I'm in, but this much I know, God is going to endure. Amen. I don't know how I'm going to make it, but there is no doubt about it. God will still be standing. God will still be ruling. God will still be in charge when all this is said and done in my life. No matter how it turns out, God is going to endure. And so he understands that. He uses this word afflicted, meaning to depress or to oppress. It means literally to browbeat. David is speaking of a prayer for the browbeaten, those that have been beat down, literally describing a man beat down by his condition. And so we feel that way at times, and no doubt David describes this clearly in verse number 10 when he said, "For thou hast lifted me up," and God had done that in David's life, lifted him up and exalted him in great ways and to great degrees. But now David said, "And cast me down." Amen. I know the highest of highs. I know what it is to, amen, run along the mountaintops and along the hillsides. I know what it's like to feel glory and sunshine. Amen. And the glow of God upon my brow. But David said, "I am right now in a place where I feel like I have been beat down from that lofty position to now I've been cast down to the lowest of lows in my life." And this is affliction. This is affliction. This is the condition that David is in. Amen. That he has been absolutely beat down, as a man would lift a vessel over his head and throw it to the ground to break it in pieces. This is where David's at. As Spurgeon described it, likening this time of David's life to that of a wrestler who has lifted his opponent over his head and cast him down and is beating him down and is doing all he can to pin him down, knock him out, and get him out of the fight. David has been beat down. David has been afflicted in this psalm. But this psalm is not just about being beat down, but no doubt in this psalm we find through David's prayer, it is a psalm about bouncing back in these times of our life. And we can't keep these seasons from coming. We can't stop the browbeating and the beat downs we take as we try to live our spiritual life. Our enemies are real. Our battles are real. Our wrestling is real. Our contending for the faith is real. Our striving to be what God has saved us to be. Amen. It is for soldiers, not for sissies. And while we're in a matter of soldiering and fighting and wrestling and contending, there are times that we feel like we're being beat down upon by every situation and on every hand. But this psalm is not just about the browbeating. It's not just about the beatdown. It's not just about the trouble. Amen. It's about a bounce back. It's about a victory. It's about a triumph. It's about, amen, God bringing David out on the other side and David being able to stand saying, "Amen, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he again has been able, amen, to bounce me back and bring me through and help me along the way." And so we're preaching Psalm 102 on the thought, bouncing back after you've been beat down. David was beat down. I got news for you. If David faced beat downs, you're going to face them and I'm going to face them. Amen. If David had been cast down, we're going to be cast down. If he was afflicted, we're going to be afflicted. Amen. If he was depressed, we're going to have seasons of depression and oppression and trouble and overwhelmed and being overwhelmed and all of these things that David has gone through in his life. Amen. Have you ever felt overwhelmed? This prayer is for you. Have you ever felt afflicted? This prayer is for you. Have you ever had some complaint upon your life and a burden that you didn't know what to do with? Amen. This psalm is for you. Have you ever felt absolutely beat down, wore out, and felt like you didn't have anything more to give? This psalm is for you. Amen. This word overwhelmed. Let me give you this. Amen. I didn't give this to you last week. The word overwhelmed. When he is overwhelmed. Amen. It means, Brother Tim, I find this very interesting with what you taught on Sunday. Amen. But overwhelmed literally means to shroud or to clothe in darkness. Amen. To shroud or to clothe in darkness. Amen. David said, I feel like I've been thrust into the dark. I feel like the darkness is weighing in upon my life. Amen. And yet David, through this psalm, and as he prays, as he pours out his complaint, as he goes through this prayer, as he pins his psalm down, David says, amen, I may have walked through the dark. I may have been shrouded in the darkness, but amen, God by his light and God by his grace and by staying upon my God, God has brought me through to the other side. Amen. And I'm glad there is a way to bounce back. And I'm glad there is a path through, amen, the dark times and these seasons of being afflicted and overwhelmed. Amen. And so our thought tonight as we consider this bouncing back after you've been beat down. Pastor, how in the world can that happen? How do we do that? How is that possible? And it is possible. And you've done it time and time again as a child of God. And I've done it. And we've all been there. We've been beat down. But we do know, amen, there is a way to bounce back. So what do we learn from Psalm 102? Amen. What do we learn here? What are the spiritual truths that aid not only the psalmist, but your life and mine to bounce back? One point tonight, one truth tonight, and that is the truth that we bounce back by prayer at God's throne. Amen. By prayer at God's throne. This psalm, again, it is entitled and bears the heading that it is a prayer psalm. Now, some psalms are songs, and most of the psalms, they are just that. They are songs that would be sung. There are, in our study through the book of Psalms these many years, we understand there are some psalms that they are prayers that are recorded prayers and written prayers and prayers that, amen, have been pinned down for you and I that we might pray ourselves in those same seasons of identification of the psalmist that has penned these. Amen. And so this psalm, listen to this, it is a peek into the secret place to hear what it sounds like when one of God's people pray. Can I say that again? Psalm 102. Now you got to get a hold of this. The Spirit of God has preserved in the Word of God in Psalm 102 a peek into the secret place so that we might understand, Brother Charlie, what it sounds like when one of God's children pray. Amen. I wonder what our prayers would sound like if people had a peek, amen, into our time, into the secret place. Amen. This psalmist, he is praying with, amen, all fervency that the scripture would command us with. Amen. Consecration and a sanctified heart and life. Amen. A prayer that is being prayed in all humility and all honesty and all holiness that a child of God is to approach the throne of God with. And I wonder tonight if we could, amen, lay our prayer life and our time in the secret place alongside of David in this psalm. I wonder what the differences or the similarities would be in our prayer life to this peak into the prayer life in the secret place here that David had before God. Amen. And so let me give you three things about this prayer at God's throne And we find here, and I believe this should be a help to you. Amen. Number one, consider with me, amen, that in this prayer at God's throne that David is praying, amen, that's going to help him bounce back, I see the piling of his cares. I'll call it the piling, or you could call it the pouring out of his cares. And we find this in the heading and in the title of this psalm. Notice it again, a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed. And here's what David said he was doing, and poureth out his complaint before the Lord. And poureth out his complaint before the Lord. In describing the prayer we read in this psalm, the phrase here, poureth out his complaint, is used to convey the idea of giving God our cares. Amen. When David speaks of a complaint, don't think about that in terms of what we would say are complaining episodes in our day. Amen. We all know what it sounds like to complain and to bellyache and to grumble and to murmur. Amen. That's not what David is speaking of. Literally, that word means an utterance, a request, a burden upon your heart. Amen. David is not just giving God a griping session. He is literally, amen, by pouring out his complaint, he is literally taking his care to the Lord, and he is laying it down and pouring it out, amen, before the Lord. And boy, Miss Kate said it right tonight when she testified, amen, that there's not a lot we can do for one another, amen, but we can take one another's burdens to the Lord. We can at least, amen, carry it there, and thank God we can carry our own, amen, cares to the throne room of God. And so I'm glad that we can give our cares, our complaints to the Lord. But let me focus in on this description he makes of what he is doing with this complaint or with his cares. The Bible said, David said, poureth out. This literally means to spill forth his liquid. I think we can see that in our mind. Amen. David said, prayer is like, amen, you take your vessel that it is full, and you literally began to tip it over, and you are spilling it out. You are pouring it out, every last drop, every last burden, every last request, and you are pouring it out before the feet of our God. But it is not just a casual thing. If you'll study this word, poureth out, here's what you'll find. And there is an intensity that is involved in this, and the intensity is that of expending both life and a soul. And so David said, in this season of my life, when I was browbeat and beat down, amen, if I was going to bounce back, I had to come to the place where I poured out my life and my soul to the Lord. This is not your little bedtime prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep and pray the Lord my soul to keep. Amen. Oh no, this is my friend getting real with God. Amen. Being fervent with God. Amen. Literally with intensity. Amen. Carrying your burden to the Lord. Amen. Do you know what that is? If you're, and I know this just maybe a carnal way to consider it, but what if there was an intensity gauge upon our prayer life? Amen. On a scale from 1 to 10, where, amen, would the meter fall on intensity, amen, of how we pour out our heart and our soul to God? Amen. David said, I gave it a 10. Amen. In this time of my life, I had to give it a 10. Amen. He's in trouble. His nation's in trouble. His church is in trouble. His family is in trouble. And David is saying, I've got to give it a 10. Amen. A 1 is not going to cut it. And a 5. amen, and just barely doing enough to get by, amen, is not the way that I was praying in this time of my life. I was giving God my all. Amen. I was giving Him all the fire, amen, that I can muster from my soul. I was praying in that kind of way. Piling of His cares, spilling out of His cares. Amen. Naming them. We sing the song, but do we ever practice it? Amen. Naming them one by one. Amen. Piling of His cares. You said, preach that. Amen. You preach on piling His cares. Where do you really see that? Amen. This word poureth out. I found it very, very interesting when I studied this, that it not only conveys the idea of spilling forth some sort of liquid, but it also speaks in the Word of God of a description. Now listen to this. It speaks of describing the casting up of a mound, something solid, a mound of dirt, amen, a mound of rock, a mounding up and piling up something that is solid. You read about this in 2 Samuel 20 and in verse number 15. I'll just read it to you. You listen to it. Bible said, and they came and besieged him and Abel and Beth Maacah, and they cast up a bank. Here's our word now. Cast up a bank against the city, and it stood in the trench, and all the people that were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down. And so they come up upon this city. There is a battle that is raging. There is a need in their life. And there is a trench. It is between them and a wall. It is beyond the trench. It is between them and what they need victory over. How did they overcome? Amen. The Bible said they cast up a bank. They mounded up some dirt. They piled up some rocks. Amen. They took some burden of earth and they laid it down. Amen. And they stood upon that burden. They stood upon that mound and they beat upon the wall. Amen. Until they were able to gain a victory on that day. Amen. That's the same word. That's describing the same thing. When David said, I prayed a prayer that I poured out my complaint. Amen. I mounded up, amen, my burden. I laid all my burden down. Amen. And I stood on top of it. Amen. I looked to heaven and said, God, do you see what I'm going through? And Lord, do you see what I'm up against? Said, Lord, do you see what I need in this situation? Amen. Oh, this reminds me of a good picture. Amen. Of what New Testament praying ought to be in our life. And you know this verse well. You've done thought about it when I gave you the point of David and his praying at God's throne, his piling of his cares. Amen. Peter said in 1 Peter 5 and in verse number 7, amen, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Somebody said, I don't know what I do. What is prayer? Amen. Prayer is you taking all your care, amen, and mounding it up and pouring it out and building it up, amen, and make a big old bank and say, God, here it is. And Lord, I can't carry it. And Lord, I can't find the victory yet. Lord, I don't know the way through, but Lord, here it is. And just pile all your care up, amen, upon the Lord. You say, preacher, can we do that? Amen. Evidently we can. He cares for us. Amen. He knows better how to care for our cares. And you and I know how to care for our cares. Amen. If we're going to bounce back after we've been beat down, amen, we got to learn. Amen. Amen. I ain't going to break out in no Disney song tonight. Amen. But we're going to have to learn how to let it go at the throne room of grace. Amen. We're going to have to learn to pile it up and let the Lord take it and let the Lord do something with it. Amen. That is where you tap into a prayer life. Amen. That'll help you bounce back after you've been beat down. Amen. the piling of his cares. Amen. Ain't you glad we got a throne, amen, the throne of God that we can access, amen, and cast our burden upon the Lord and let him sustain us. Amen. And let him deal with the problem. Let him deal with, amen, the enemy. Let him deal with the victory we need. And David, my friend, he found, amen, in this prayer at God's throne that he could pile all of his cares in that place. Quickly, number two, in verse 1 and 2, I see the persistence in his calling. Amen. He says, hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me. In the day when I call, answer me speedily. Here we find the psalmist's language seems to indicate he has been praying with much fervor for quite some time. Amen. It's not just a casual prayer. He has been under this load for many days. He, amen, has entered into it looking for a way out. And Brother Gerald, seemingly there is no way out. And so what does he do? He prays. Amen. He is in trouble. He is in trouble. He is overwhelmed. He is afflicted. Amen. He is, amen, in a time where he really needs the God who is bigger and greater and mightier than he is, amen, to do something in his life. He is in trouble, but he will not quit praying till he has assurance that the Lord has heard. Lord, I'm calling, I've been calling, and I'm going to keep calling until I know that God has heard my prayer. And I say tonight, amen, we need to learn to pray with importunity would be the, amen, the word that Christ has given us in the New Testament. Amen, as the man arose in the night, amen, and went to his neighbor and begged him. Amen, begged him for something to eat for the friend that had come by. Amen. And the man would not arise and give to him until, amen, the neighbor knocked and he kept knocking and he sought and he kept seeking and he asked and he kept asking. And Jesus said, that man, he will not arise because, amen, that's his friend, but he will arise. Amen. When that man by importunity keeps on seeking, amen, and just perseveres and persists, amen, in his asking. Amen. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you need from God. I don't know how bad the situation is, God. Amen. But can I encourage you tonight, child of God? Amen. You may be in trouble, but don't ever, ever, ever quit praying and asking and seeking God. Amen. Until you know that God and have assurance that God is heard and is going to send an answer. Amen. You just say, preacher, I prayed and it doesn't look like anything's happening. Amen. You keep on praying. You keep on seeking. Amen. You keep on crying and calling out to God. Amen. That is what is going to help you when all is said and done. Amen. I can't tell you how many times I've been shrouded in darkness. Amen. And only had, amen, only had the Lord to lean on to make it through the darkness. Amen. And somewhere in the prayer place, somewhere in the secret place, and somewhere at the throne of God. Amen. I've made my way through a many a trouble. Amen. And come out on the other side and look back. Amen. And then you see clearly what you can't see in the darkness. Amen. That God was a-hearing you all along. Amen. But had you quit praying, had you quit on God, amen, had you laid down, had you walked away, had you compromised or liberalized, amen, dropped the standard and got yourself out of the fight, amen, you'd have never known what it was to bounce back. Amen. I'm telling you, child of God, pray your way, amen, through being beat down. Pray your way through the brown beating. Amen. You'll be glad on the other side when you bounce back. Amen. And you stand upon your mound and you stand, amen, against that that you needed victory over. Amen. You'll be glad that God taught you how to pray your way through. Amen. This is going to take some persistence. Amen. We see the piling of his cares and the persistence in his calling. Look with me, something David says about prayer, about this particular prayer, or says about prayer in this particular prayer. Verse 17, he says here he will regard the prayer of the destitute, not despise their prayer. I call this tonight, you got to keep your mind on these truths so that you stay engaged in prayer. Amen. We got a place, thank God, to pile our cares. We can pray and we can keep on praying. But I find in verse 17 the promise for his consolation. You say, what do you mean? This is a promise David is clinging to. I know I may not have my answer yet, but I just am going to accept it as God's promise for my consolation. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Amen. That is a consolation. Amen. To this point, the situation has not changed. Amen. The battle and the trouble and the affliction, the darkness is not past. Amen. David is still praying his way through, but amen, there is a promise for his consolation. Amen, that is going to help him stay before the throne of grace. Amen, this promise is twofold. Number one, amen, the promise is that God will regard. God is going to regard the prayer of the destitute. I want to say tonight, I'm glad God regards my prayer. Amen. This word regard, listen to this, this will help you. This will make you go home and keep on praying. Brother Riley, it literally means to turn, to face, to appear, or look toward. Amen. David said, I've been praying, I'm praying, I'm going to continue to pray. My prayer life and my time before the throne of grace is going to be my bounce back, and what keeps me here and keeps me going is God has given me a promise. He's going to look my way. Amen. He's going to turn to my direction. He's going to turn and face my trouble that I am in. Amen. But that's not the best part. This word regard, Brother Mike, amen, not only means to turn in the face, to appear, to look, but I found this, it has with it the carrying on and the idea that one is going to turn, face, appear, or look with the intention of doing something. They're going to turn, and in their turning, they no, there's something needs to be done, and they're about ready to get after it. Amen. They've heard the cry of despair. Amen. And they're turning to spring into action. And I say, I'm glad we've got a God. Amen. He's not only going to turn and just have pity upon us. Amen, but he's a God that springs into action. Amen, I'm glad his hand is not, amen, his arm is not shortened, then he cannot say. His hand is not slack, then he can't, amen, be involved and touch what is going on in our life. Amen, he is a God that can turn, but amen, a God that in turning is turning with an intention to help us. Yes, sir. Amen. Like the father who hears their child with a particular scream, he, in his turning, he knows by that certain cry something has happened. Now, illustrate, I gotta quit, we gotta pray. But, yesterday, Sam was here mowing at the church, and how many of y'all know this story? Y'all have heard this already. Sam had the world would call it a freak accident. That's what they would say. But that lawnmower come off that hill and it run into him. And you know what he did? He pulled his phone out
And he called Dad. Now, when I picked up the phone, I was working on the other side of town, Brother Gerald. And when I picked up the phone, I said, hello. And it didn't take me a half second to know my youngin was in trouble. Amen. I could tell in the sound of the, when he said that, I knew when it come out of his mouth, that little left out of his mouth, Brother Tim, I knew my youngin was in trouble. Amen. I didn't have to know all the details. He said, Daddy, I need help. I need help. And he's trying to explain. I didn't have to know all the details. Amen. I run out the door, got my truck. I run every red light. Amen. Amen. Between the other side of town to get back to the church. Amen. To get to where my son was. What did I do? Amen. I turned from where I was with an intention. Amen. I'll break every red light law there is in town. Amen. I'll get there and I'll help my son. I made it turn his direction. Amen. With an intention to help. I ain't the world's greatest dad. Amen. I ain't even close to being the world's greatest dad. Amen. But if I, being an evil father, know, amen, when my son has a need, amen, to turn and have an intention to, amen, to get to where he is and to help him, how much more does your heavenly Father, amen, hear the cries that no one else hears? And my friend knows the tone and knows the intensity that you are in the battle. Amen. David said, I'm going to stay praying because I know my God is going to regard my prayer and he will turn, and when he does, it will be with the intention to do something. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that's my kind of God. Amen. You can have your Buddha and your Baal and your Muhammad. I'm glad today. Amen. My God can turn and do something about my situation. Amen. Amen. And so David said, I've got a promise of consolation. And the Lord is going to regard the prayer of the destitute. Those that are in the depths and the lowest of lows, God will regard. But a second promise is that our God will not despise their prayer. I don't know which promise is bigger and better. I kind of like them both. You say, preacher, what does that mean? The word despise means to disesteem, which deals with how you value something. What you value, he will not disesteem. He will not, amen, lower their value just because they have a need. Amen. It means to hold in contempt or to disdain. David said, I can call on God at any time over anything and have this assurance, my God. Amen. My enemy may have browbeat me, but my God will not browbeat me. Are y'all listening? Amen. I've been beat down by the devil and the spirits of hell. I've been beat down by the flesh. I've been beat down by the world. I've been browbeat by Baptists for 20-something years. Amen. I know what it is to be browbeat, but you know what I've learned? My God has never one time browbeat me when I come to Him and said, God, I don't know what to do. He's always been ready to listen, and are y'all listening? Amen. He will not despise. He will not devalue. He will not put a small price tag on the prayer you're praying.
Amen.
The promise is simply this: God values your prayer. We don't value our own prayer as much as God values it. God's just waiting on His children to say, Lord, help. When we do, you can't put a price tag on it.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, we'd probably pray more if we realize how valuable prayer is.
Amen.
It's a promise, David said, that keeps me praying. Though I'm beat down, I'll bounce back by prayer at God's throne. Amen. Child of God, keep praying. You'll get your way through it. Amen. You'll stand again in triumph and in victory. But you're going to have to pray your way through. Now, we're going to spend a minute in prayer tonight. We're going to spend several minutes in prayer tonight.